now. Stop humming, it's everything to change. And Walt 2 make you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint that I know they gon' copy. Stop humming, intros always go the hardest. Cause this is America's game.
Hey everybody, welcome into America's Game, episode number 69. Nice. Welcome in. Going to be a solo show this week that I'm going to do for you guys here on America's Game, but I am your host, Eric Vanek. You can follow me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL, follow the show at America's Game Pod, and also make sure you follow at SouthHarmonFF on YouTube and Twitter both. Get some likes over there, subscribe over there for us. We would really, really appreciate it if you guys would do that for us. All right, what are we going to talk about this week? So we got week 12 on the horizon here. We got 3 weeks out to the playoffs. Going to kind of change it up a little bit. We've been talking a lot about trading and who to trade for, who the hammers are, like we talked about last week with Adam. And this week, I want to kind of go back and talk about some of these draft prospects that are going to be coming into the league. So, you know, kind of we talked about it I think a couple weeks ago about what the first round could look like in fantasy drafts. And we're not even talking about, the second round too. We kind of talked about like, it's a fairly deep class. So when you're trading for first round picks for 2025, when you're trading for picks for 2025 in the second round as well, who are some of the players that are going to be in this draft that we can kind of depend on and look at? So today I'm going to take a look at Mel Kiper's big board, take a look at Dane Brugler's top 50 as well as a couple different mock drafts, and kind of look and see what these guys are thinking right now and kind of go from there and just see what we think about some of these prospects. So we'll start with Mel Kiper's big board here first, and we're going to look at the quarterback position. So obviously, super flex leagues, quarterback is going to be king for us in most of our leagues. So with the first quarterback on the board here for Mel Kiper is Shedeur Sanders still. And he still really likes Shedeur Sanders. I mean, he's having a pretty solid season so far. 280 completions on 384 attempts. He has got his completion percentage up to 72.9, his best of his four-year college career so far. So I've seen steady improvement just about each year from Shedeur Sanders on his completion percentage. He's already passed his passing total. Well, he's 8 yards shy of last year's passing total, and they obviously still have a few more games left to play. His average throw is 8.4 yards per throw, 27 touchdowns, which matches last year's already. He has 7 interceptions. He only had 3 interceptions last year. His quarterback rating, the best of his career so far, at 163. Shedeur Sanders, you know, they only won 4 games last year. A lot of people were predicting the same thing again, and they're a top 25 team right now with, you know, aspirations on maybe making the college football playoffs this year. So we'll have to see if they can do that. Just kind of looking at the last couple games from Shedeur. So on 10/26, they played Cincinnati, 25-30. 323 yards, 83 completion percentage, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Against Texas Tech, shootout game, 30-43, 291 yards, 69.8 completion percentage, 3 touchdowns, no picks. And then his last game against Utah, which is one of the better defenses in the country, they put up 49 points on Utah, and Utah had been holding some teams to like 7 points, 10 points, and Colorado went in there In Colorado, it just put on 49 points on a really good defense. So 30 for 41, 340 yards, three touchdowns, one interception from Shedeur Sanders. So really, really nice there from him. You're not going to get much of the running stuff from Shedeur. I mean, just looking, he can run for touchdowns near the goal line, but he's not putting up like Drake May, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert lately. He's not putting up like those kind of numbers. I think he can do it. It's kind of like he's in the CJ Stroud mold a little bit of he can do it. Does he want to do it? So Shedeur is kind of just sitting back there and throwing some dimes in there right now. But yeah, hell of a season so far from Shedeur Sanders. And that is Mel Kiper's number one quarterback. And he has stated that for at least this past season this whole season that I could remember. I don't think he's really wavered off of that point. So he likes him. And then kind of looking at Dane Brugler's top 50, he only has four quarterbacks in his top 50. He does have Shedeur Sanders right behind Jalen Milroe, who's the second quarterback. He has Shedeur Sanders at 23 on his big board. He has his number one guy is Cam Ward, number one at 16th overall. So that kind of gives you a look of where Dane Brugler has Shedeur Sanders right now, and Mel Kiper has him up pretty high. And from what I've seen from Shedeur, I like his game. I like his arm. I just, you know, there's a lot of worry about Dion and his dad and how much that's going to have an effect. But I think Shedeur could definitely come in. He's going to be a first-round quarterback. He probably goes in the top five, I would assume, just from what I've saw. If, you know, just the way that quarterbacks move up in these drafts, like he might be rated, you know, 23rd on some people's boards, but you know, would I take him over J.J. McCarthy from last year? Would I take him over Bo Nix and Michael Penix from last year? I think I would. So that's kind of where I am valuing Shedeur Sanders right now. Let's go ahead. Let's take a look at Mel Kiper's second quarterback he has on his list, and that is going to be Cam Ward, who I just mentioned with Dane Brugler. And Dane has Cam Ward at number one. Just kind of want to read this. He says, the best comparison I have for Ward is fireworks. His ability to create explosive, dazzling plays with his elusiveness in the pocket and natural arm talent is unmatched in this class. However, fireworks also come with a warning label. When Ward gets careless with his decisions, negative results follow. Nonetheless, his on-field upside and football character make him the current favorite to be the first quarterback drafted. How Ward performs throughout November and potentially into the postseason will be put under a microscope by NFL teams. I also wanted to read Shedeur's write-up as well. Here's Shedeur's. There is a lot to like about Sanders' package of skills. He is poised, tough, and accurate with a natural feel for touch and layering the football. But one of the main concerns is the inconsistent way he manages the pocket, drifting or welcoming negative plays by holding on to the football. The blame for the number of sacks Sanders has taken at Colorado doesn't entirely fall on the offensive line. Sanders reminds me of Jordan Love, but without the high-end physical traits, because both use athletic movements to skillfully access different throwing platforms. Sanders doesn't have Love's size or arm strength, however, which is a concern when playing that style of game. Nonetheless, Sanders' ball placement and toughness will give him a chance to become an established NFL starter. And another guy that holds on to the ball too long and takes a lot of sacks that I could see, you know, another comparison for Shedeur a little bit is Justin Fields. We've seen what happened with Justin Fields in Chicago. He's gone on to Pittsburgh and kind of the same things, just holds onto the ball too long. He's got to be faster with it. He's got to be quicker with his processor. So hopefully Shedeur can continue to improve on that. But back to Cam Ward. Yeah, I really like Cam Ward and what I've seen from him this year. If I was making a quarterback list right now for 2025, I think I would have Cam Ward as my number one quarterback. His completion percentage leaves a little bit to be desired, only 66.8 this year, but it's been pretty consistent throughout his five seasons in college. 60, 65, 64, 66, and 66 again this year. But this year, way more explosive plays. 3,494 yards, 9.7 average per pass, 32 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. And then you kind of look at his rushing stats too. Not like the greatest rushing stats, kind of like Shedeur Sanders. He's going to hold on to the ball a little bit, but you know, same thing with Cam Ward on that. And then just kind of looking at his last couple games, man, it's been really good. So Louisville, he went 21 of 32, 319 yards, 4 touchdowns. FSU, 22 of 35, 208 yards. Didn't have any touchdowns in that one, but they pretty much whooped on Florida State. Duke, 53 to 31, they won. 25 for 41, 400 yards, 5 touchdown passes against Duke. And then last week against Georgia Tech, their first loss of the year at Georgia Tech, 25 of 39, 348 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. So, you know, some of that's on the defense too, but he didn't turn the ball over. And those four games that I talked about, I'm not really looking at fumbles at the moment, but as far as interceptions, he only has one interception over those four games, and he is just having an incredible season right now. Just watching him play has been a lot of fun this year. Probably would be my number one overall guy right now. On to the next guy here on Mel Kiper's board is Jalen Milroe, which was the other guy I talked about on Dane's as well. Dane has him at 22 overall in his top 50. Dane Brugler or Mel Kiper has him at third overall, the quarterback out of Alabama. So let's read up Jalen's right up here. A rocket-fueled version of Jalen Hurts, Milroe has a unique package of skills with his size, 6'1", 225, 4'3", speed, outstanding arm strength, and strong mental makeup. Consistent ball placement is not a strength of his game right now, but if a team leans into his style, Milroe could be a dangerous playmaker, and I have to agree with Dane on that. Dane, over the last 4 or 5 seasons, that is a guy I absolutely trust when it comes to draft stuff. His takes on players, what he thinks, does he get them all right? No, but he's pretty damn accurate on a lot of his stuff that he talks about, and he puts in the homework. So if he is saying that about Jalen Milroe, I'm pretty comfortable in that. And then, like I said, Mel Kiper has him at third overall. Looking at some of his stats on the year. So his stats so far this year, obviously he's improved from last season. 65% completions last year, 67.5% this year, so a little bit better. Right now he's 160 for 237, 2,232 yards, 15 touchdown passes, and 6 picks. Last year he had 23 touchdowns and 6 picks, so hopefully that will improve. Obviously, this guy can run the ball, too. Against LSU, he had 12 for 185 and 4 touchdowns, just himself on the ground. So really, really good numbers there on the ground. He's not putting up these 400, 350-yard passing games against teams like Cam Ward's been doing, but he's been playing some really tough competition here. So obviously the Tennessee game, they lost, but 25 of 45, 239, 1 touchdown, 2 picks. Against Mizzou, they won 34 to nothing against a really good team. 16 for 26, 215, no touchdowns, no picks. LSU, 12 for 18, 109 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, but he had all that rushing stats that I mentioned. And then last week against Mercer, obviously Mercer's not a powerhouse. 11 for 16, 186 yards, 2 touchdowns for Jalen Milroe in that one. So I agree that Jalen Milroe, he does remind me a little bit of Jalen Hurts in that style. A little bit of, not Jaden Daniels, but kind of Cam Newton-ish in a way. Whereas these guys are going to have to improve on their passing completion percentage to even, you know, get back up there. Like Jalen Hurts has improved on it. Josh Allen has improved on it. So it is something that you can improve on. I think if Jalen Milroe, who I think has a logistic, realistic shot to go in the top 5 of the NFL draft right now, it's going to have to be the right coaching staff that is going to commit to the system, build a system around him. It's kind of like, you know, Anthony Richardson right now. Like, he's got to have the right system around him in order to, you know, have these quick throws, quick completion, stuff like that. You're going to have to let him build it up, and kind of like how the Eagles built their offense around Jalen Hurts as well. I think Jalen Milroe can kind of do the same thing as those guys. I love his rushing ability, and we've seen like these rushing quarterbacks, what they mean in fantasy and what they've been doing in the NFL. Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen. Look at these guys. They're at the top of their, you know, dynasty rankings. You look at those guys, they're probably four of the top six. You know, Kyler Murray, look at him. You look at, you know, all these other types of players. Anthony Richardson, who I mentioned too. Like, all these guys that are high rushing floor quarterbacks are usually your guys that you want in fantasy. So if Jalen Milroe gets the draft capital at top five, he, you know, super flex draft, you might have to take him one or two overall. You might have to take him over Shedeur Sanders, to be honest with you, just because of the rushing upside if he goes to the right system as well. So I really like Jalen Milroe and what he brings to the table. Let's go ahead. Let's take a look at the number four quarterback here for Mel Kiper, and that is Grant Nussmeier. And that is also Dane Brugger's last guy that he has in his top 50 is Garrett Nussmeier from LSU. So Garrett has, through the first 6 weeks of the season, I was ready to put the quarterback one label on Nussmeier because he was doing actual quarterback things with his pocket maneuverability and reads. However, since halftime of the Texas A&M game, his inexperience has overshadowed the positive moments, and that has included putting the ball in harm's way too often. With only 10 collegiate starts on his resume, Nussmeier would be wise to return to school. NFL scouts have been buzzing about him as a future first-round pick, but the last two games have shown a quarterback who could use more on-field reps before facing NFL speed. So he thinks Nussmeier should go back to college this coming season, which I don't mind that take from Dane Brugler on that one. I think Nussmeier may be able to use another year of seasoning, especially if he only has 10 starts. Like, that's just nothing. But this year so far, 262 of 422, only a 62 completion percentage. That definitely needs to get better. 3,126 yards, 22 touchdowns, 11 picks. So kind of just talking about that, you know, with these quarterbacks that throw too many interceptions, and all these quarterbacks I have talked about already don't have anywhere near the interception totals that Nussmeier has this year so far. They have three straight losses on their resume too. They lost to A&M, Alabama, and Florida. Obviously all three good SEC teams. But Nussmeier, 25 of 50 for 405 yards, two touchdowns, three picks against Texas A&M, only a 50% completion rating, 27 for 42, 239 yards, 64 completion percentage, one touchdown, two picks against Bama. And Florida last week, 27 for 47, 250, one touchdown, no picks. So that was good, but he took seven sacks. So I think I agree with Dane on that. He's going to need a little bit more seasoning, but he could be somebody next year that we're looking at that could be a top NFL draft pick in 2026. And then, you know, just looking at what Mel Kiper had, he had him at fourth, which is interesting, which kind of means, like, where do we value these 5-6 quarterbacks as well? So we'll go into Quinn Ewers now for Texas. So obviously he's dealt with a couple injuries so far. And just looking at some of Quinn Ewers' injuries, like I mentioned, he had already this year, so some of his numbers aren't going to be as good, but still 68 completion percentage so far, 169 completions, 247 attempts, only 1,898 yards, 21 touchdowns, and six picks. And Quinn Ewers can come back another season to Texas, I do believe. If he wants to. So he has that opportunity. But just looking at some of his latest games against Georgia, that was a tough game for them. 25 of 43, 211 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. But then against Vanderbilt, 27-24, close game. 27 of 37, 288, three touchdowns, two picks. Against Florida, he killed it. 19 for 27, 333 yards, 70 completion percentage, five touchdowns. And then Arkansas last week, they only won 20-10, but 20 for 32, 176 yards, two touchdowns. I think, you know, Quinn could probably use another year back there, but is that going to happen? You know, could Texas tell him, hey, if you come back, you're not going to start. It's going to be Arch. I think that's a real possibility here. Would Quinn want to transfer to another school and go be a quarterback for a year and then go to the NFL draft? Or does he just come out now and take what he's got? And I don't even know if he's a first-round pick. He might be a second-round pick at this point. We'll have to see how that process happens. But, yeah, Quinn Ewers is definitely a polarizing figure. Not much of a runner, so he's just going to be a passing quarterback in the league. I think he's good enough. Like, he's got a good accuracy. I think his arm's not terrible. It's pretty solid. So, yeah, Quinn Ewers can definitely be a quarterback that could be considered a first-round talent. Does he come back? I think that's a real possibility that we'll have to talk about in the future. Next quarterback is Carson Beck. A lot of people thought he was the number one overall quarterback coming into the season, but he has struggled a little bit with Georgia's weapons not being as good as they usually are. But on the season so far, Carson Beck, 235 for 361. His completion percentage has dropped from 72 last year down to 65 this year. 2,835 yards, 19 touchdowns, and 12 picks. So he's already doubled his interception total from last season when they won the national championship. So, yeah, pretty interesting here for Carson Beck. I believe he is a senior, so he does have to come out this year. What's going to happen there with Carson Beck? I think he could still be a first-round pick. I think NFL teams are going to like what they've seen from him, but I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, he's gotten pressured a little bit. He hasn't played as good. His receivers and tight ends aren't, you know, what Georgia usually has when they've had Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey and those guys. And it's still tough competition. He's played Texas, Florida, Ole Miss, Tennessee, his last four games. Like, those are nothing to sneeze at here, but he's put up some big numbers. Like, last week against Tennessee, 25 of 40, 347 yards, two touchdowns, only a 62.5 completion percentage though. Against Ole Miss in the loss, 20 for 31, no touchdowns, one pick. Florida, 25 of 40, 309, two touchdowns, three picks. So he's got to clean up these interceptions, and I think he will. He has shown it in the past that he can, but it's going to have to come here in a hurry, or Carson Beck might be another guy who could fall into the second round of our drafts. And then looking at the last couple guys here on Dane's board, I don't know if some of these guys are going to end up being in there or not, but you have Drew Allar from Penn State, Curtis Rourke from Indiana, Jackson Dart, Ole Miss, and Dylan Gabriel. I think the one that intrigues me the most on that list is Jackson Dart, and I'll just kind of look at him real quick here. Jackson Dart on the season, 211 for 298, 70 completion percentage. That's a 5 percentage point increase from last season. 22 touchdowns, 4 picks. Last year he had 23 touchdowns, 5 picks. So interceptions are still right on track of what he did last year, and he's going to pass his passing touchdown record or career high from last season as well. So he has improved each year that he's been in this Ole Miss system. So Jackson Dart, I think that could be a guy who ends up sneaking into the first round, especially if Ole Miss gets into the playoffs here and maybe they can win a game or two. And we'll have to see what happens there. But Ole Miss, you know, they have two losses on the season. They lost to LSU, but they just beat Georgia 28-10 and fucking beat the brakes off of them. And then you look at his game against Arkansas when they put up 63 points, 25 of 31, 515 yards, 80 completion percentage, 6 touchdowns, no picks. So, yeah, this kid can play some football as well. And his rushing stats aren't that bad. You know, 50 yards, 47 yards, 24 yards, and so I think Jackson Dart is a little bit of a mobile quarterback who can actually give you some yards on the ground. So that is one guy I am looking forward to seeing what happens with him at the next level. Let's go ahead. Let's take a look at the running backs now. And Dane Brugler has three running backs in his top 50, which is interesting. And it's not the same As Dane Brugler's. Dane Brugler's is a little interesting, actually. But let's go over it here. So, number one on the board for both guys, Ashton Gentry from Boise State. If you have not seen Ashton Gentry this year, what are you doing? He's listed right now at 5'8", 217. Perfect size for our NFL running backs that we want nowadays. And just reading Dane's write-up on him, already a top 25 prospect coming into the season, Gentry has become more of a household name thanks to his eye-popping production over the first 2 months of the season. With his contact balance, run athleticism, vision, and third-down skills, the Boise State star is a complete back with true impact potential. And to me, he is the only running back in this class who definitely deserves a first-round pick, in my opinion. So I could see one of these teams at the back end of the draft that are just a piece away or need to have a luxury pick, basically. And they take Ashton Gentry there in the first round, and they get a stud running back in the first round. And just looking at Ashton Gentry's stats so far this year. 256 carries, 1,893 yards. He's averaging 7.4 a carry, 26 rushing touchdowns so far this year. He can also catch the ball, 17 for 98, one touchdown. Now, 17 for 98, one touchdown, yeah, that sucks. That's not good, Eric. No shit. But look at his stats from 2023. 43 catches, 569 yards, 5 touchdowns. So when he was getting some light LT, LaDainian Tomlinson comparisons last year coming into the draft. So I think the team has focused more on his rushing, not his receiving as well. But he can catch the ball, obviously, from his 43 for 569 the year before. But, I mean, goodness gracious. His stats this year, his least amount of rushing yards in a game this season is 127, and that was on 11 carries against Portland State. So obviously they didn't need him very much in that game. His most yard or least amount of yards in a real game against UNLV was 128, and that he had 33 carries in that game, so 3.9 average. But, I mean, some of these numbers are just ridiculous. Georgia Southern, 20 for 267 and 6 touchdowns week 1. Week 2 against Oregon. Oh, yeah, Oregon, that team that was ranked number 1 overall. 25 for 192, 3 touchdowns. Then he had the Portland game state, 11 for 127. Next game out, Washington State, 26 for 259 and 4 touchdowns. Utah State, 13 for 186, 14.3 a carry, 3 touchdowns. Hawaii, 31 for 217, 1 touchdown. The UNLV game again, 33 for 128, 1 touchdown. San Diego State, 31 for 149, 2 touchdowns. Nevada, 34 carries, 209 yards, 3 touchdowns. And last week, San Jose State, 32 for 159, 3 touchdowns. And he only has one fumble on the year and he lost it. That's it. This guy is a monster. And he's the perfect height, weight, speed, all that stuff. Love, love, love Ashton Gentry. So this guy is going to be a star in the NFL. Let's look at the next running back here on the list. Another great running back, Omarion Hampton from the University of North Carolina. Dane does have Omarion Hampton in his top 50. He has him 40th, which is the third running back overall on his list. Ranked in the top 40 on my preseason draft board, too, Hampton has been a workhorse for the Tar Heels offense this season and is one of only 6 FBS players averaging better than 130 yards per game. His blend of contact balance, speed, and passing down skills will help make him an immediate NFL impact. So let's dive into Omarion Hampton so far this year. So he has 2 straight seasons of, he's going to have 1,500 yards in both seasons. So 2023, he had 1,504 yards. So far this season, 248 for 1,422 yards, 14 touchdowns. He also has 31 catches, 281 yards, and a touchdown. So Omarion Hampton, I don't know if he's going to be a first-round pick, but he definitely should be a second-round pick coming into the NFL draft. Just looking at some of his numbers, too, man, he's just put up some big-time numbers. His least amount was against Charlotte. He only ran a lot ball 11 times for 77 yards. But in all the real games where they played and he had a shit ton of carries, Minnesota week one, 30 for 129, 25 for 210, three touchdowns. James Madison, 19 for 139, three touchdowns. Duke, 29 for 103. Pitt, 23 for 106 in the touchdown. Georgia Tech, 18 for 137. Virginia, 26 for 105, two touchdowns. Florida State, 32 for 172, four touchdowns. And he also had 3 for 93 and a touchdown in that game receiving. And then Wake Forest last week, 35 for 244, one touchdown. I believe that was his most rushing yards in a game in his career last week. This guy is also listed at 6 foot 220. And he is a load to bring down. So, yeah, really like Omarion Hampton, too. Definitely going to be a starter on somebody's team in the NFL next season. All right, next running back to talk about here. Personally, I would have Caleb Johnson, number 3 overall. Mel Kiper has him 7th overall on his running back board, which is a little interesting to me. But Dane does have him at 39 overall, ahead of Omarion Hampton. So one spot ahead. So let's read Dane's write-up here on Caleb Johnson real quick. A physically put-together athlete, Johnson processes quickly at the line of scrimmage and quickly gets north-south, making tacklers feel contact. Averaging 7.1 yards per carry this season, he has surpassed 100 rushing yards in 8 of 10 games and ranks 3rd in the FBS with 21 rushing touchdowns. He is listed as 6 foot 225. So just like these other guys, he is a fucking tank. So love, love, love Caleb Johnson. Shout out to Mike South Harmon. He is a big Iowa fan, so I've watched some Iowa games this year just because I'm like, hey, Mike knows likes Iowa. Let me watch this team. And Caleb Johnson has been an absolute delight to watch this year from the beginning. I mean, he has just racked up touchdowns in every single game he has played in this year. They lost against UCLA last week. He made 18 carries for 49 yards and a touchdown, but still got one there. And then Wisconsin, 42-10, they won. 24 for 135, three touchdowns. Wisconsin just beat Oregon last week, so you have that. Northwestern, 14 carries, 109 yards, three touchdowns, 7.8 a carry. Michigan State, 14 for 98 and a touchdown. Washington, 21 for 166, two touchdowns. Even against Ohio State, 15 for 86 and a touchdown. His receiving skills are okay. Like, it's not like he can't do it, but they haven't really thrown him the ball too much this year. But, yeah, I mean, I think Caleb Johnson, from everything that I've seen, this kid is going to be really good too. Is he a first-round pick? Probably not, but I could see second, maybe third round for Caleb Johnson if he comes out. I would expect him to come out. But, yeah, I mean, Caleb Johnson, really, really like him for this NFL draft too. Next guy up that we're going to talk about here is going to be Dane Brugler's third guy, Jonah Coleman from Washington. So I really, I'm going to be honest, I haven't watched Jonah Coleman this year, but just kind of look at his numbers here. 173 yards, 1,008 yards, 9 touchdowns, 21 catches for 160 yards. So I like seeing that a running back like that can go out and catch the ball. He is listed at 5'9", 229, so another fucking tank, just like these other guys that we've talked about. I love these bigger running backs that are in the 210s, 215, 220, sometimes 230 range. Yeah, looking really, really good there for Jonah Coleman so far this year. And kind of look at his game log. Let's see what he's done this year. So against UCLA, his last game out, 21 for 95, two touchdowns, the same team that shut down Caleb Johnson. So interesting. Against Penn State, 11 for 24, so they didn't do very good. USC, 23 for 104, two touchdowns. Against Indiana, the number five team in the country currently, 19 for 104. Iowa, he had 9 for 80. 18 for 80 against Michigan in a touchdown, where they beat Michigan. Rutgers, they lost 21-18, but he had 16 for 148 for his best numbers on the year. So, yeah, Jonah Coleman, that's got to be a guy I'm going to put on my list here to watch a little bit to kind of see his style. But that's a guy that Mel Kiper is targeting right now, is his third favorite running back in this class right now. Next up on Mel Kiper's list here as the two Ohio State running backs. So at number four, he has Quinshon Judkins from the Ohio State. And then Judkins, obviously his numbers aren't going to be as good this year since he's splitting the backfield, but his previous two seasons at Ole Miss, 1,500 yards, 16 touchdowns, and then 1,100 yards, 15 touchdowns. This year, he has 121 carries for 723 yards, 6 yards per carry, 8 touchdowns, 13 for 102 in a touchdown, and he can catch the ball a little bit. So that's pretty good there for Quinshon Judkins this year. And he is another big back, 6 foot, 219. Love seeing that. So obviously he's kind of splitting carries, so we can't really look at his stats and really dive too deep into it. But let's look at some of his bigger games this year. So against Penn State, he had 14 for 95 on his limited carry, so that was good. Last week against Northwestern, he had 2 touchdowns on 76 yards. Oregon, 11 for 23, anybody had a touchdown. So, yeah, some tougher games there. And then let's take a look at old Travion Henderson for the Ohio State Buckeyes as well. He is in the eligible this year. He is a senior. He is another 5'10", 208 running back. He has 89 carries for 662, 7.4 carry, his best of his career. 5 touchdowns only, 14 for 105. So he can catch the ball a little bit too. But yeah, Travion, not putting up the numbers that we're used to, but he's averaging about 10 carries a game. Very efficient, 10 for 87, 10 for 54, 6 for 85, 11 for 74. So it's going to be really interesting to see on these Ohio State running backs how a lot of the draft community is going to view them. They're probably second to third round picks, maybe fourth round, but I would probably feel pretty comfortable with these guys at least being third round picks for both Ohio State guys. Next guy up on Mel Kiper's list is Taj Brooks from Texas Tech, another guy that I've liked this year. This is another fucking tank, 5'10", 230. So this guy's a big monster. Last year, he had 1,500 yards rushing for 10 touchdowns. He also had 29 catches. And then this year, 235 for 1,184, 11 touchdowns. And he has 17 catches so far this year, too. And then just kind of look at his last couple game. I mean, the whole year he's averaged over 100 yards a game this year. So let's kind of run through those. Against ACU, 27 for 153 and a touchdown. Against North Texas, 17 for 109 and a touchdown. Arizona State, 27 for 117. Cincinnati, who's been a pretty good team this year, 32 for 172, 2 touchdowns for him. Against Arizona, 21 for 128, 3 touchdowns. Against Baylor in a loss, 25 for 125 and a touchdown. TCU in a loss, 30 for 121 and a touchdown. Against Iowa State, where they upset them, 25 for 122 and a touchdown. And then last week against Colorado, 31 for 137 and a touchdown for Taj Brooks. So I've liked what I've seen from Taj Brooks too. It's just another guy added to like the third round range that is going to be a productive NFL back and another monster running back. So this running back class coming out next year is going to be really, really special in my opinion. And then a couple of the other running backs that Mel Kiper has listed, Jordan James from Oregon, Nicholas Singleton, obviously from Penn State. Singleton has a lot of pedigree, and RJ Harvey, who's having a really, really good season at UCF this year as well. That is another guy that it could be out, coming out next year. And looking at RJ Harvey, just real quick, 1,328 yards, 6.8 per carry, 19 touchdowns, 15 catches for 229 in his receiving yards for this year as well. And he's another big back, 5'9", 210. So, man, the running backs that are coming out next year, if they come out, that's the big if. A lot of these guys can come back. But if they don't come back and they go out, there are some fucking tanks coming into next year. So love that. Let's go ahead now. Let's take a look at the wide receivers that are coming into this draft. All right, so let's take a look at the wide receivers here. Going to look at Mel Kiper's list here first. And he has some really, really good receivers. And I think Dane has him listed as a corner. That's why. Brugler has Travis Hunter, number one overall. And Mel Kiper has Travis Hunter, number one overall. But Dane has Travis Hunter listed as a cornerback currently. I'll just read what he has on Hunter. Hunter is the best draft eligible player in the country, and I don't think that will change between now and April. Does he project best at wide receiver, cornerback, both? Those questions will be answered as he progresses through the process, but regardless, Hunter is the clear favorite to be the first non-quarterback drafted. Could not agree more with Dane Brugler on that. And similar, that's what, if you've listened to Mel Kiper talk on his podcast, the first draft podcast that they do, he has said the same words. Travis Hunter should be the number one overall pick. Hard to argue with that. So this year, Travis Hunter receiving 74 catches, 911 yards, 9 touchdowns for a guy who's playing both ways, who is just a freak catching the ball. Like, some of his highlight catches are ridiculous. But he's had some big games this year against Cincinnati, 9 for 153, 2 touchdowns, 9 for 99 against Texas Tech, 5 for 55 against Utah. And they beat up on Utah last week. They really didn't even need him. So Travis Hunter having a tremendous season. We'll see where they come out, NFL scouts. Is he better as a corner? Is he better as a receiver? I think receiver. I've had him in some Debbie leagues, and I'm hoping he's a receiver, obviously. So, yeah, we'll see what happens here with Travis Hunter. But I think he probably plays both ways in the NFL, at least to start, and see where he settles in there. Next up is going to be Tetaroa McMillan, the wide receiver, fucking pterodactyl from Arizona, is like the, I like to call him. He is a big, big man. Both Mel Kiper and Dane Brugler agree, number two at the wide receiver position. And this year so far for Tet, last year in 2023, 90 for 1,402, 10 touchdowns. This year, 69 for 1. 1,136, 7 touchdowns. So I would believe by the end of the season, Tet is probably going to have similar numbers. Dane Brugler's right up on him. Arizona's 2024 season quickly went sideways, but McMillan has been one of the few bright spots. He was the first FBS player to eclipse 1,000 receiving yards this year, a unique athlete at 6'5". He has Gumby-ish body movements with elite tracking and high pointing skills. So that's funny that he called him Gumby. I could see that. To me, he is like Mike Evans a little bit, but he can run the full route tree. Like, if you watch Tet McMillan highlights, it's not, oh, just deep ball, go up, get it kind of shit. He's running outs. He's running curls. He's running crossers. He's running every route in the book. This is a real wide receiver, and he is 6'5", 212. No doubt in my mind that Tetaroa McMillan should be a top 10 overall draft pick come the NFL draft. I think he is that talented. And besides Travis Hunter, who we'll see what happens there, if Travis Hunter just goes to corner, Tet is my number one wide receiver overall in this draft. So I agree with both Mel and Dane on that. Next up, receiver Luther Burden III, And Dane Brugler has him 10th overall on his list. Averaging just 8.3 yards per catch, Burden doesn't have first-round production this season, but teams will have no trouble betting on his diverse athleticism. Though he can win downfield, Burden has the physicality and contact balance of a running back, making him dangerous on underneath catch and go patterns. So the comp for him has been Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel is just the comp for these types of players. But I think Burden is a hell of a player, too. I mean, obviously this year his numbers don't look good. The year before, 86 for 1,212 yards, 9 touchdowns. But this year, 53 for 574, 5 touchdowns. He also has 9 carries for 115 yards and 2 touchdowns. So Luther Burden, I guess right now the lazy comp is Deebo, like I said. So you can kind of think of him as a Deebo-ish type player at 5'11", 208. But I think Luther Burden is a really, really good player. Like they said, he can win on the outside. Is he going to be used on the outside, or will his skill set be best for the slot? So we'll see what happens there. I think he can mix around and play every position on the field for the wide receiver spot. So I do like Luther Burden and what I've seen. Probably going to be a first-round pick this coming April. Next up on Mel's list is Emeka Ebuka from The Ohio State, and Dane Brugler has him as his 4th wide receiver at 35 overall. So for Emeka, kind of like his teammates, JT Tuimaliolo, there isn't one aspect of Ebuka's skill set that you would classify as extraordinary. However, he already looks like a Sunday player with his route running nuance. The way he frames the football and his willingness to block an NFL offense will welcome that consistency with open arms. So I think that willingness to block is a big one. So you could see some team taking him, probably at the back end of round one and be happy. Could like Kansas City or Buffalo get a hold of a guy like that? I think they would love to have a player like this on Buffalo or Kansas City, and Ebuka, a guy that can do everything, route runner, will block for you. I think teams are going to love him, especially at the back end of that first round. I bet you he probably goes from like pick 24 to 32. He probably goes in that range for Emeka Ebuka. Just looking at his stats this year, obviously the last year, 2023, he had some injury problems. And then this year, 49 for 612, 8 touchdowns. Pretty solid year for him. I mean, 3 years ago when they had C.J. Stroud, 74 for 1151, 10 touchdowns. So with a more of a passing offense, I think Emeka Ebuka should be really good. Am I going to compare him to Olave and Garrett Wilson? I think he's like a slight step behind Olave, but I don't think it's crazy to like put him up there with an Olave type. So we'll see what happens there with Ebuka. I think, like I said, if he ends up in the right spot, he's going to definitely be a really solid weapon. I kind of look at him as a really good number two, but I said that of Chris Olave too, and Chris Olave is definitely a number one. So I think I'm going to leave the door open that Ebuka could become a number one, kind of like Chris Olave did. But I think, in my opinion of watching him play, he's more of a number two wide receiver in the NFL that I have seen. But that, like I said, his passing stats aren't the greatest this year. It's just because of the offense. And Will Howard is in there at quarterback, and don't get me started on that. But, pretty solid there for Emeka Ebuka. Next up, Mel has Isaiah Bond, the wide receiver from Texas. And Dane has him at 45 overall, which I believe is his 6th receiver. So consistency isn't the first word you think of when watching Bond's tape, but other favorable words like twitchy certainly come to mind. With further development as a route runner and catch point finisher, he displays the easy acceleration and short area suddenness to be a weapon. So, kind of like a Xavier Worthy kind of type player. He might not be, a guy who wins all the time, but really good playmaker, explosive. This year so far, 30 catches, 483 yards, 5 touchdowns. He also has a rushing touchdown as well. So I've seen Isaiah Bond, definitely explosive type of athlete, makes those big plays. you know, with his speed, if he runs a really fast high 4.3s, does he get into the 4.2s? If he gets into that category, I definitely think he can be like Xavier Worthy and be considered at the back end of the first round this year. So I think he is another guy that could be that, you know, be considered there. So a couple of his games against Georgia, 2 for 11 and a touchdown. So got a touchdown against Georgia. And then Florida, their big win, 3 for 55 and a touchdown there. Last week against Arkansas, 4 for 48. So he is a pretty inconsistent player, like Dane said, but, you know, he's got the explosion and the athleticism to go with it. Next up, Jalen Royals from Utah State. So Dane does not have Jalen Royals. But Utah State, we seen any receivers from there? No, the last person we had from there was Jordan Love. So, yeah, Jalen Royals, man, really good player, 55 for 834, 6 touchdowns this year. Explosive athlete at 6 foot 205. I think he's got a really good chance to be like a second-round pick. I mean, just look at some of these numbers, and they've lost their last 5 games, but it's not because of him. He has missed a little bit of time here with some injuries. He hasn't played since October 19th, but still 11 for 188 and a touchdown. UNLV 10 for 155, a touchdown. Boise State 9 for 211, 2 touchdowns. Temple 10 for 112 and a touchdown for Jalen Royals. So keep Jalen Royals as a guy in the back of your head as well as somebody that I think could really make an impact at the NFL level. Really excited to see what happens there with Jalen Royals. Next up, Mel has Savion Williams from TCU. And looking at Savion's numbers this year, he is another guy, pterodactyl, 6'5", 225 from TCU here. So same height and all that as Tet McMillan. He has 54 catches, 580 yards, and 6 touchdowns. He also has ran the ball 34 times for 232 yards and 2 touchdowns this year as well. So kind of a Debo Samuel, but that's a lazy comp for Debo Samuel. 7 for 52 and a touchdown his last game against Oklahoma State and a win. A loss to Baylor, he had 8 for 92. Texas Tech, 3 for 81 and a touchdown. So, yeah, some pretty good numbers there. And he is getting like 7 to 8 carries a game. He's had a couple touchdowns in his last couple games rushing the ball as well. So I think Savion Williams is somebody I'm going to need to watch a little bit more of too. But, man, 6'5 receivers don't grow on trees that are athletic, can go up and make some plays. So if Mel Kiper has them that high, I'll be interested. Next up is Amonor from Stanford. This is another guy who is very high on the draft boards coming into the season. 6'2", 210 out of Stanford. Stanford has been absolute dog shit this year, even though they got the upset last week against Stanford. Or against Louisville, I'm sorry. 2 for 68 and a touchdown. 4 for 108 against North Carolina State and a touchdown. 11 for 96 against Wake Forest. 4 for 55 and a touchdown against SMU. So Alec has been really good this year. Dane Brugler has him as his third overall wide receiver. So I want to make note of that. After the top tier of receivers in this class, Hunter, McMillan, and Burden, who sits atop the next tier? Amonor is a real candidate thanks to his blend of size at 6'2", 210, speed and ball skills, even though the Stanford offense struggles to get him the football. So this is a guy who is doing really, really good despite of his offense and how shitty it is. So that is another guy that we are going to keep an eye on. Next wide receivers up here, Jalen Noel from Iowa State. Really like what I saw from him. Watched him earlier in the year against Iowa. I think it was week 2. And he had a pretty good game there, but he has continued that this year. 56 catches, 935 yards, more of a big play threat this year. 16.7 per catch on 5 touchdowns. Some of his previous games here against Cincinnati, 6 for 43. Against Kansas in a loss, he had 8 for 167, 2 touchdowns. Against Texas Tech, 5 for 44. And UCLF, 8 for 153 as well. So pretty good numbers there from Jalen Noel. And then the last guy I want to bring up on Mel Kiper's list here is Trey Harris from Ole Miss. 59 catches, 987 yards, 6 touchdowns. Already surpassed his numbers from 2023 already. And if you've seen Trey Harris this year, he is just a big play. I mean, look at some of these gaudy numbers. Wake Forest, 10 for 94. Georgia Southern, 11 for 225, 2 touchdowns. Kentucky, who is a really good defense, 11 for 176 on the touchdown. South Carolina, 3 for 81. Last week against LSU, 7 for 102 and a touchdown. So Trey Harris was somebody that I was reading, didn't have a lot of favorability coming into the NFL draft, but I think he's taken the, you know, getting some better buzz here. And I think he could be a second to third round pick coming into the NFL draft this year. And then real quickly, we'll hit on some tight ends. I think Tyler Warren is listed as the number one tight end here for Mel Kiper. The tight ends in Dane Brugler's draft class or top 50, he has 3. So that means we're going to probably get 3 tight ends probably in the first 2 rounds this year. So that's a little bit different than some of the years past. But Tyler Warren, let's take a look at him. The go-to weapon in the Nittany Lions offense. Warren is a fluid mover at 255 pounds and has exceptional ball skills to track and finish in traffic. I wouldn't call him an asset as a blocker, but he can line up in line or in the slot. Warren gives me flashbacks of a different Tyler at tight end, and that was Tyler Eifert. So there you go with Tyler Warren. Just want to look at his stats because he had some gaudy stats too. How about this game against USC? 17 catches, 224 yards, 1 touchdown. Wisconsin, 7 for 46. OSU, 4 for 47. Washington, 8 for 75. And last week against Purdue, 8 for 127 and a touchdown. So Tyler Warren definitely going to be, I think he has a chance to be a first round guy or probably a top of the second round guy. So Tyler Warren, very interesting. Next tight up is Colston Loveland. A lot of you probably know who that is. He is 13th overall on Dane Brugler's top 50 board. Despite being stuck in a sporadic passing offense, Loveland's speed and receiving athleticism pop on each tape. Similar in ways to Dalton Kincaid, he will have limitations as an NFL blocker, but he can become a difference maker as a hybrid pass catcher who can line up across the formation. Some teams are even scouting him as a wide receiver, so that is very interesting on Loveland. His stats this year, 53 for 560, 4 touchdowns. He's a 6'5", 245 guy. I think Loveland is going to be a solid NFL tight end. You know, we'll have to see what kind of offense he gets into. Like you've heard me talk about on the waiver wire shows, hopefully he doesn't get stuck in one of these offenses that runs out 4 or 5 fucking tight ends a week. So hopefully Loveland gets a little better landing spot than that. And then the last tight end I want to talk about, Mason Taylor from LSU. That's Jason Taylor's kid. So Taylor is listed as a tight end, but he's more of a jack of all trades who will line up in line, wide, in the backfield, and everywhere in between as LSU leans on his versatility. He is a quarterback-friendly target in the passing game because of his ability to adjust, frame, and finish in traffic. So Mason Taylor on the year, 49 catches, 478 yards, 2 touchdowns. I think Mason Taylor is going to be a really good athletic tight end in the NFL, worthy of a second-round pick. He's had some decent numbers this year, and like they talked about, very, very versatile player. So Mason Taylor, another tight end that we can watch out for next season, probably a second-round pick in the NFL draft. And there's a couple other tight ends that are coming out, too, that I think are interesting. So Lucas Shea has fallen down the boards, but he's interesting. Ben Yurasek, Georgia. Terrence Ferguson, Oregon, Mitchell Evans, Notre Dame, Elijah Arroyo, Miami, Joe Royer, Cincinnati, Gunnar Helm, Texas. So those are some other tight ends that you could look out for next year. And there's even like some fullback H-back types that Dane has that I'm really interested in, like Aronde Gadsden, the second, Bryson Nesbitt from North Carolina, Harold Fannin Jr. from Bowling Green, Brant Cuthie from Utah, Jared Casey, Kansas. There are some really, really good tight ends coming out next year as well. So, okay, so Eric, let's take a look at the top 2 rounds here, right? Shadur, Cam Ward, Milrow, Nussmeier, Ewers, Beck. So there's six. Genty, Hampton, Coleman, Judkins, Henderson, Taj Brooks, Caleb Johnson. I would probably say those guys are all third round picks or higher. And in fantasy drafts, they probably are at least first to second round picks. So that's six plus seven. We got 13. All 10 of these wide receivers, I think, could go in the first three rounds. So let's add 10 more to that list that I gave you already. So we're at 23. And then you add a couple of these tight ends. I think, let's say four to be, you know, maybe a guy sneaks in there. You know, that's, look how good that is for a lot of our drafts. We're going into late round two, early round three, to where these players are going to matter again. Now, the numbers can change here with declarements and people going back to college. Not all of these guys are going to come out that we've mentioned. So some of them are going to go back just like last year, but man, if there's some really, really good talent in this draft. So seconds, even some early thirds, I'm definitely in on keeping those picks right now if I can, or acquiring them if I have some guys that I can trade away. Hold on to those picks. I think you can get some really, really good players in the NFL draft coming out this season. Now, before we wrap up here, I kind of want to look at a couple of mock drafts as well, some from some of the more respected people in the space. So the first one I'm going to look at here is the PFF mock draft by Trevor Sikkema. So Trevor Sikkema is a part of PFF. He does really, really good stuff. I've been following him for a couple years. Definitely like hearing what he has to say. So he did this mock draft at the end of October. So let's go over it here real quick. He has number one overall Carolina Panthers selecting Cam Ward from Miami. That means they would be turning away from Bryce Young, which I think is a real possibility. I think it really depends on how Bryce Young plays the rest of the season. If Bryce Young gets a couple more wins the rest of the season, they're not in position to pick number one overall. So there's that. But if they continue to struggle like they've had this year, and Bryce Young just doesn't get any better, that owner and all that, I could see them just cutting bait there and going for Cam Ward. So I think that is a realistic possibility of Cam Ward ending up number one overall to Carolina. Two overall, the Tennessee Titans select Shedeur Sanders from Colorado. I think this is a possibility too. Who knows what happens with Shedeur, with his dad and holding out in spots. But I think with Brian Callahan, I think the way that he has, you know, developed, you know, helped develop Joe Burrow and some of these other guys in that system, I think Shedeur could do pretty good in that kind of system. So I wouldn't be opposed to Shedeur Sanders going there. I think Will Levis is okay, but is he an NFL starter? I haven't seen it. I think he's too inconsistent, makes too many dumb, boneheaded plays. Shedeur Sanders is better than Will Levis. So if you have a chance to upgrade your quarterback, I think you should do it if your team is in the right spot. I think the Titans have a good, you know, nucleus going. They've got a couple offensive linemen. The running back situation is solid. I think the wide receiver room needs some more help there. Tight end, they're okay. Their defense could obviously use a little bit of help too. But I wouldn't mind this pick to the Titans. Number three overall, I would love. And that is Teterola McMillan from Arizona going to the New England Patriots, number three overall. That would be awesome for Drake May to have Tet McMillan there for the Patriots. Absolutely home run pick for this in a super flex draft. God, he might be the first offensive player taken that's not a quarterback, especially with, you know, teams at the top of the draft usually need quarterback. But Tet McMillan with Drake May, sign me up, because New England needs some playmakers bad. The next offensive player is number five overall. The Jacksonville Jaguars taking Travis Hunter, the wide receiver slash corner from Colorado. He is a big-time playmaker, man. Travis Hunter, I think wherever he goes, he should do really, really well. Do I love Jacksonville? No, but if that's where he goes, that's where he goes. And it would make Trevor Lawrence a better quarterback there, even though I don't think Trevor Lawrence is all that good. But there's been some talk, too, if Jacksonville tanks here and they end up number one overall, you know, Travis Hunter might be their first overall pick, which would be kind of crazy. But I think a new coach, a new GM will be heading up Jacksonville next season. There is some rumors that it could be Bill Belichick. We'll see what happens there. Would Bill Belichick want Travis Hunter? He likes good football players. I think he knows Travis Hunter is a damn good football player. So we'll see what happens there with Travis Hunter. Quarterback, number seven overall, the Las Vegas Raiders, who definitely need a quarterback, select Jalen Milroe, the quarterback from Alabama. I would hope Antonio Pierce and they could get a right offensive coordinator in there. They've already fired one. Obviously, they need weapons, too. Like, yeah, they got Jacoby Myers, but Trey Tucker's just a small piece. All these other guys. Obviously, Brock Bowers is an absolute fucking stud. But this would be a good spot for Jalen Milroe, too. I really, really like Jalen Milroe going to Vegas in a dome. Love that pick for the Raiders. Number eight overall, Cleveland Browns. Have them taking Luther Burden the third. So, with the Browns, they need a lot. What's going to happen at quarterback there? I mean, they owe Deshaun Watson a shit ton of money still. So, I think quarterback Deshaun Watson, I think that's probably still the same next year. I think the Browns have so many holes on that team right now that wide receiver is not the first spot I'm going. They need offensive line. Like, Jedrick Wills is going to be gone. He's terrible. Joe Batonio, very, very good player, but very old. The right side of the line, they have Wyatt Teller, who's been hurt quite a bit. Jack Conklin, he's been hurt a ton. The center is just an average center. So, like, they really need to bolster that offensive line first before they put any quarterback in there. If I'm the Cleveland Browns, I'm signing a Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton type. Have a veteran quarterback in there. Even if they just stick with Jameis, that's another one, too. And just kind of build your pieces up there. Like, you still have Tillman. You have Elijah Moore. You have Judy, who you have signed. Like, I think that's fine. And Njoku's fine. But they need to work on the other pieces first. They need more defensive linemen. They need more offensive linemen. They just need to get better players into that system. And I don't think you go and get a quarterback right now because I think the team is too old. They're going to have to rebuild. So the Browns need to get younger first. And this is their first time that they've had a first-round pick in 3 years. So that is going to help a lot. Miami Dolphins, they have them taking Kelvin Banks Jr., the tackle from Texas. Dolphins need an offensive tackle badly, so I like that. He has the Giants at 10, taking Garrett Nussmeier. We'll see what happens here with the Giants. They're starting Tommy DeVito the rest of the year. Daniel Jones will be gone, so they are going to be in the market for a quarterback. I could see this a team, if they're in the top five, where Deion and them say, hey, we want to go to the Giants. I think there's a possibility that we have a new coach with the Giants next year. I don't know about the GM. The GM actually did a pretty good job this year, other than the Saquon Barkley bullshit. But if you look at what the Giants GM did this year, he got Malik Nabers, star. Theo Johnson, one of the young upcoming tight ends in the league, and I got him in like the third or fourth round. Tyrone Tracy, fifth round pick. Their starting running back. So he pulled off three starters from that offense, not to mention the defensive picks that he's had too that have done well. I don't think it's the GM. I think it's the quarterback has a lot to do with it. And they were kind of forced to pay him after Daniel Jones had one really good season and did good in the playoffs. But it kind of has run their course. So I think the GM stays and they probably get a new coach. Nussmeier, I don't know if he comes out, but could be a decent quarterback there for them, but I think they should have higher aspirations, to be honest. Number 12, Dallas Cowboys get Ashton Jeanty. Does Dallas need a running back? Sure. Is it their biggest need? Hell no. So I think this would be a little rich for me for Dallas. Like, yeah, it would be nice to see CeeDee Lamb, Ashton Jeanty, Dak Prescott, Jake Ferguson out there. But their defense is in shambles. Their offensive line needs some help. You need more wide receivers opposite of Lamb. Like, it's not Tolbert and Cooks, guys. Telling you that now. You need more than CeeDee Lamb. Like, if fucking Tet McMillan fell this far, that's a home run. Luther Burden, any of those guys that we mentioned earlier, like, could easily be a Dallas Cowboys pick next year. Let's see. Tackle Will Campbell, 16th from LSU to the Seahawks. If he fell that far, that's a home run, but I think Will Campbell goes a lot higher than that. So we'll say that. Cameron Williams, a tackle from Texas to the 49ers. I could definitely see the 49ers going tackle in this draft. Wyatt Millum, a tackle from West Virginia to the Bears. The Bears definitely do need a tackle. Wide receiver to the Denver Broncos, Emeka Ibuka from the Ohio State. Would love this pick for Denver, and taking Ibuka to pair with Bo Nix. Sean Payton would give him a really good route running option there, and Ibuka, and I think he could have some really good success with Ibuka there for Sean Payton and Denver. So really like that pick. Next one up is Pittsburgh taking wide receiver Isaiah Bond. Now, the Steelers definitely can use a wide receiver. I could see them taking a wide receiver here in the first round if they like him. I just don't know if it'd be Isaiah Bond. I could see them, you know, keep going at that offensive line. Their defensive line is getting old. They need some defensive linemen. They could always use help at corner. So they do have some different needs there. I don't know if Pittsburgh would go Isaiah Bond, but if they did, I think it'd be pretty interesting. And let's see here. What else do we got? Ursare from tackle from Minnesota going to Washington at 29. I can see that. Tate Ratledge, a guard from Georgia to Houston. I would love to see that. That'd be a good pick. And tackle Josh Simmons from the Ohio State to the Kansas City Chiefs. I could see the Chiefs going tackle as well, but I could also see them taking an Isaiah Bond type wide receiver too. They like to do that. So that's just a couple of the mock drafts here that we saw. Another one that we had was the Tankathon mock draft. And just so this one is updated as of 5 days ago. So this one's more updated with the same, with the current draft order. So number one overall was Travis Hunter to Jacksonville. Number two overall, Shedeur Sanders to the Titans. Four overall, the Giants would take Cam Ward. I like that. Eighth was the Panthers in this one. They get Tet McMillan to help out whichever quarterback they have there. Kelvin Banks, the tackle to Dallas. Love that. 11 overall. This would be really interesting with the Bengals. Ashton Jeanty to the Bengals at 11 overall. Now, the Bengals do have, you know, they still have offensive line issues. They have some defensive line issues, too. Like, I think they need to get some more pass rushers. I think they need to get some safeties and corners and stuff like that, too. But Ashton Jeanty, I could see that being a piece to the Bengals offense that really unlocks it even more. So you'd have Ashton Jeanty and Chase Brown as a duo. Holy shit, that would be nice. Tight end Colston Loveland to Indianapolis. That would be probably one of the worst picks to go with their nine-way tight end fuckfest that they have every single week there for the Colts. I would absolutely hate Colston Loveland to the Colts. That would be a terrible pick. Yes, would he play more over Mo Alley and Kylan Granson and Will Mallory and Drew Ogletree? Yes, but those guys are going to mix in too, and it's going to be a nightmare. So no thanks to that one. 19th overall, he has the Broncos taking Luther Burden III. I could see that being a good spot too. I think Sean Payton can definitely come up with some ways to get Luther Burden the football, so I like that. Ursare, the tackle from Minnesota, 6'6", 330 to Arizona. That would shore up their tackles for sure. They'd have Paris Campbell and Irsay as their bookend tackles for the next 10 years. Love that. 22, the Commanders taking Emeka Egbuka. That would be a nice spot. I would love to see Jaden Daniels get another weapon like Egbuka. That would be great. Let's see. Another offensive lineman tackle, Jonah Savanea from Arizona. That would go to the Texans. Texans definitely need some offensive line help. Tyler Booker, a offensive lineman from Bama to Baltimore. That makes all the sense in the world. Isaiah Bond to the Packers. I think the Packers have way too many wide receivers, and Bond and like Jaden Reed and those types, they're not the same, but yeah, there are way too many wide receivers there for Green Bay. Plus, Green Bay never takes wide receiver in the first round, so I don't see that one happening. And then the last one is offensive tackle Emory Jones from LSU to to the Kansas City Chiefs at 31st overall. So that would be interesting. They actually have Jalen Milroe falling out of the first round and going in the second round at the top to the Cleveland Browns. So I think Jalen Milroe will go a lot higher than that. But if he fell to like a Cleveland Browns in the second round, I think that Cleveland would be stupid to pass on that. So very, very interesting takes there from some of these teams. So I like it. I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. I think we've kind of gone through a lot of these prospects, but just wanted to kind of give you guys an outlook at what to expect here coming up with your draft picks that you're trading right now, or maybe you're hoarding, just so you can see, hey man, these draft picks are going to be really, really valuable. So hopefully a lot of these guys come out this year and play in the NFL. So it's going to be really, really nice. So excited for that. That is going to be it for this one, guys. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this little college football preview for the coming NFL drafts here. Good luck getting into your playoffs. Thanksgiving week is next week. The episode will drop on Thanksgiving morning. So you guys, you know, if you got a ride to the in-laws, you're want to get away from the family for a little bit and listen to a podcast, it'll be out for next Thanksgiving for you guys. I'll probably get a special guest on for that as well. So appreciate everybody tapping in for this one solo podcast. I know sometimes these can be long-winded. Hopefully it wasn't too bad for you guys, but follow me on Twitter at Eric Vanek NFL. Follow the show at America's Game Pod. Follow South Harmon at South Harmon FF on YouTube and Twitter. We always appreciate it when you guys interact with us. You know, patreon.com/South Harmon as well. Make sure you guys sign up, join the Discord, check out the Warp tool, check out the lab, check out all the cool tools that we have on the SouthHarmonFF.com website. Those are always great tools for you guys to use. So with that, I'm going to sign off. Appreciate everybody for tapping in, and good luck here in week 12 and trying to get into your fantasy playoffs.